Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Well, if my life had gone a little differently, I wouldn't be here today. I would be at one of the football playoff games getting ready for a broadcast because my training, as you probably know, is in broadcasting. And so there was a time when I did news, weather, and sports on radio and television. And my whole college education, both undergraduate and graduate, was preparing me to be a sports broadcaster. And so broadcasting is very much a part of me, and I have a lot of friends in the broadcast industry, and I'd like to start the session today by paying tribute to a friend. His name is Stuart Scott, and he was a broadcaster on ESPN, and he succumbed this morning to a 7-year battle with cancer. Now, you may not know who he is. He's kind of a funny-looking guy, a really funny guy. But if you've ever heard the expressions, booyah, or as cool as the other side of the pillow, or see what had happened was, then you know Stuart Scott. When I was learning broadcasting, we were taught pretty much to play it straight. And everything was to be objective, and there was no fun or humor to be injected into the broadcast. And Stuart Scott was a person who decided that that wasn't the way that sports especially had to be done. And so he started developing all these expressions, my bad, and so he started to inject fun into broadcasting. And it caught like wildfire, and now you see that virtually everybody has some funny way of approaching a sports broadcast and has their little expressions. But Stuart was 49 years old, and I'm sure that he is absent from the body and face-to-face with the Lord, and I'm happy about that. He's a great dad. He was a phenomenal broadcaster and a tremendous person. And he, during his battle with cancer, it cleared up and then came back 3 times. And so he was a picture of perseverance and a picture of grace. And he will be tremendously missed by those who know him, who knew him. And so I would ask you today to join me in praying for his family, because that is a tremendous blow to his family and a tremendous loss to them, a tremendous loss to the broadcasting community, and tremendous loss to all of those who knew him personally. Well, it's pretty easy to focus on all the things that are wrong in your life. And when we stop to think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our souls must be flooded with gratitude that he has helped us weather every single storm that we have ever had in our lives, including the storms that are going on in our lives right now. And there's nobody here that doesn't have something challenging going on right this minute. It's a great idea to take minute vacations every day to remind ourselves of his very real and very active presence in our lives. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul exhorts us. Am I on the right lesson? Yeah, I am, but I don't think I have the right slides up, so hang on 1 second. I got the second lesson slides up, Denny. My bad. Where's the little mouse? My bad. Yeah, it's okay. Here it is. I was looking at that and I was saying, hey, man, where the slides at? Yeah, that's the podium, you mean? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, and then how do I get this there? that'll be good enough. All right, so in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul exhorts us. He says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord with a decisive faith, so walk in him." And what does that mean? The word walk is a reference to a lifestyle. So if you have a decisive faith in Christ, then have a decisive lifestyle. Having been firmly rooted, that's an agricultural thing, you are planted in Christ, therefore rooted by him in union with Christ. And now being built up in union with him as he keeps on perfecting you. And having been established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And I wonder if that's your situation. Do you realize that you're in Christ? Do you realize that you're rooted in him? That you are a plant planted into him? And that he's holding on, just like soil does, to you with, he is the soil holding on to you as the root. And that you're rooted in him. I wonder if you know that. And I wonder if because of that, you're overflowing with gratitude. Because of our relationship in Christ, we are to be decisive. And we are not to be blown about by every wind. We are to grow up in all aspects to him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, however, we learn God the Holy Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, and that's a reference to every generation, in every generation, some believers in Christ will fall away from the faith. They'll fall away from the Christian faith. They'll fall away from that which is believed, the Word of God. And instead, they'll pay attention to deceitful spirits, and they'll pay attention to the doctrines of demons. And I wonder if you realize how important your thinking is, because your thinking is the engine of your life. And I wonder if you realize that everything that you expose yourself to is shaping how that engine is running. Everything you expose yourself to is the fuel that powers that engine. And what you're doing all along the way is adopting thoughts as fuel and putting them into your thinking process, and those are the things that are guiding your GPS. Doubt. Oh, doubt yourself. I'll take that. I'll place that into myself. Oh, it's never going to work out for you. Ooh, that looks juicy. We do that. But that is not how our Lord intended for it to be. All of us get sucked into the trap of listening to the world and its wisdom, and therefore we doubt that God is on our side. We doubt that we have the victory in advance of the effort. We forget that God is for us and not against us. We forget that because we have God's peace, that he has nothing against us, his believers in Christ. False teachers and their false teachings encourage us to forget that the Lord loves us unconditionally and that we reside in the sphere of his grace. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude." Now that verse was really a reference to food. You know, it was Timothy telling the Jews, okay, we know what the Old Testament said about eating stuff, but it's a new day. And nothing that's created by God is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude. There's a new day. Well, but there's another way to look at that verse as well. We have freedom in God's plan to accept or reject the Lord's teachings. And that's the funny thing. You know, if I teach you something about God in these lessons, you have the choice to pick one of those thoughts and put it right in here. The Lord loves me unconditionally. I'm the child of a king. You know, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You can pick those thoughts out too and let those be the things that run you. Well, perhaps we should let this be the year, Happy New Year. We should let this be the year when we reject doubt, when we reject fear, when we reject hatred of others, when we reject loathing of ourselves. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, "Therefore, since we believers in Christ receive a kingdom from God which cannot be shaken," God has put us as believers in Christ in union with Christ on a foundation that cannot be shaken. Jesus Christ cannot be shaken. He has overcome the world. And you are rooted with a foundation that cannot be shaken. Therefore, let us show gratitude to God for all he has given us, by which we may offer to God an acceptable life of service with reverence and awe toward him. Welcome to a place where you can relax. Welcome to a place where you can pick out the thoughts that are going to drive the engine in a way that is supportive of you and the others around you, where you can take in the divine viewpoint that helps you give thanks in everything for all the things that God brings into your life. Now, as we begin our worship of the Lord, we have an opening song here as June Murphy to sing, Word of God Speak.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, word of God speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the world's noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the silence, hear your voice, word of God speak. You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holy.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful to you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for a new year. Thank you for the days and the weeks and the months that you have allotted for us to live on this earth. We have a lot to be grateful for. Thank you for making me a pastor, and thank you for all the people who have come through this congregation over the 7 years we have been in existence, who have shaped my character and who have established this church, either through tribulation or contribution. And we ask you for a fresh start and for a fresh perspective today. We ask that the words of this lesson might be yours and not ours. And we ask that the things that we learn today, the things that you're placing into our souls, might give us your divine viewpoint and help us reject human viewpoint so that we can approach every situation in our lives from your perspective. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? To the resident congregation of Barah Ministries, thank you for being here face-to-face. To our non-resident congregation, thank you for joining us at your convenience on the internet, or, by the way, there are live broadcasts now, both audio and video, that you can join us at the exact time that we're giving the lesson. And I don't know that I have announced that enough times, but we are live right now for some people in the congregation, which is a wonderful thing. And for you and the non-resident congregation, even though I am absent from those of you who listen to us, absent in my physical body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, and I am grateful for you, and I am rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability and constancy of your faith in Christ as you continue to take in his word. I love to start off the year, and in fact, I love to start off every day with a question. Because questions offer us the pressure that is necessary to see if we're moving our lives in a forward direction. So we begin this year with the question, what are you grateful for? Let 2015 be the year of gratitude. When I ask questions of you, it's great if you say to yourself, boy, that's a great question. Because if you ever say, boy, that's a great question, it means that the question put some pressure on you. It put the pressure on you to answer. It's better if you fetch a pen and a piece of paper and write your answers to the question down as you listen, because there are thoughts that are coming to you as you hear what I'm saying. And it's a good idea if you get those thoughts out of your head and onto paper. I think that's a lost art among young people. See, people remember only 10% of what they hear only. Now, it's fantastic if you get 10% of this lesson, but it's even better if you get 90% of this lesson, and if you start writing things down, it helps your ability to remember tremendously. And for those of you who are going to college soon, I guarantee you this, if you don't get in the habit of doing that now, when you get to college, it is not going to be adequate for you to remember 10% of what the professor said. It will not be adequate. You'll flunk out of school. So taking notes, although it's a lost art among the young who think that they can passively wait for everything to come to them on their electronic device, I assure you that there are some old school methods of learning that have not gone out of style. And taking notes is one of those. Zoning out is a regular part of learning. But when you've zoned out, there's still a message going on over here. How do you capture it? So important for you to start learning about yourself and learning how to take advantage of what you're putting yourself in front of, because these things that we're learning here are not things that should just go in here, come out here. They're actually designed to go in here and stick there so that they become the thoughts that you can use to counteract what's going on in the world as you leave and go out into the world. So when I ask a question of you, it's great if you say to yourself, that's a great question, because it means that the question forced introspection. But it's better if you fetch a pen and a piece of paper and write your answers to the questions as you hear them. And I'm asking you, what are you grateful for? Last year, we completed our study of the first five chapters of Paul's letter to the Romans. That was tremendous progress. I have been involved in a ministry where we were on Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 6 for 3 years. So we made tremendous progress through the book of Romans, and I'm grateful for that. Paul's letter to the Romans is the foundation for the Christian way of living. The New Testament opens up with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each of them teaches us some aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ during his 33 years on earth. We get to see in the Gospels a lot of his teaching, and he taught in parables and stories, and all of it was gospel-related. He was asking people to believe in him. Then the book of Acts follows the four Gospels, the book which details the formation of the first century Christian church. Then in the sixth book of the New Testament, the mantle is handed to Paul, and Paul begins his teaching with the letter to the Romans, a letter that lays the foundation for the Christian way of life. The book of Romans is the foundation for the Christian way of life. If you say you're a Christian, then you need to understand Romans cold. Now, I can readily admit that after 5 decades of being a Christian, last year's study of Romans opened my eyes to many things I did not know. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in a discipline like Christianity for 50 years and not knowing a damn thing about it? You know why that is? It's because of the teachers that you have, and it's because of the thoughts you adopt, and it's because of the place that you get influenced by. And it's much easier to get influenced by the world than it is to get influenced by this. You know, I can tell you that today I'm going to sit in front of the television and I'm going to watch 6 hours of football. And I'm going to pay really close attention to every single moment. I'm going to yell and scream and scare the heck out of my dog. But I'm going to be in one place dedicated for 6 hours. And I know what concentrating for 6 hours is like. I have had children. I have raised children. I have seen them, if I let them, sit in front of a video game all day long. And I've played video games. As a matter of fact, the reason that I don't have a video game is because if I had a video game, you would never get a Bible lesson because I am obsessive. And I would master the video game. I would know every twist and turn of the video game. And I would be able to tell you anything you want to know about the video game. I'd be reading every magazine, every book about the video game. And I would be beating people in the United States and Istanbul, Turkey, and everywhere. Because I am obsessive and I love winning. So I stay away from video games because I don't want anything to do with it. But I'll tell you this. I can and have sat in front of a video game for 12 to 15 hours without moving. Except to go to the bathroom. So it's funny to me when I say something as a teacher to somebody about sales, that's my other career, or I say something to somebody about the Word of God, and I say, hey, taking notes is really important to your lesson, and then they just keep staring at you. Now, I've been teaching for 50 years, too, and I know what I'm talking about. And see, this learning is not academic. See, this learning is supernatural. This is something that supersedes everything that you ever thought about doing or having. This is not school. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking directly to your soul. And he wants what he's saying to you today to get into the soul, to penetrate, to go deep into you. And so that you hold on to it, so that when you're facing the things that he knows you're going to face this coming week, like, I know Stuart Scott knew he was dying. And I wonder what his last week here was like. He knew he didn't have much more time, and his family did too. And I wonder what video game sustains you when you lose the most important person in your life. What video game is it that helps you deal with that? There aren't any. But the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharp like a two-edged sword. and it cuts right to the quick of every issue that you're dealing with. And so that's why I love the Lord, and that's why I love the Word of God, because I have all the answers I will ever need, because every human problem has a divine solution. So it was a pleasure to study Romans, because I learned many things after 50 years that I did not know about Christ and about Christianity and about life. And as a result, I opened this year more relaxed than I have ever been and more comfortable in the security of the life that I have in Christ. And I sincerely hope that infection of relaxation spreads to you, and that you're relaxed because you are in union with Christ. I hope that means something to you. And honestly, I don't think it does mean a thing to you. I don't think you think about it during the week. But let me put it to you this way. Do you understand what a Siamese twin is? Do you know what Siamese twins are? Yeah, Siamese twins are twins who are born connected. You know, maybe they have one head. That's terrible. One of them ain't gonna make it. Or maybe they're connected at the arm, or they're connected at the leg, or they're connected at a body part. That's you and Jesus Christ. Once you become a believer in Christ, you become a Siamese twin. You're connected to him, and all of your sustenance comes from him. A lot of times, Siamese twins will be born in such a way that they share an organ. You know, maybe they share a kidney. Now, when they separate them, they're going to have to get a kidney for the one who doesn't have a kidney. But see, you're never going to be separated from Christ. Isn't that amazing what he did? He said, okay, I'm going to make creatures. Creatures said, yeah, screw you, creator. I got better ideas than you. And so creatures went off on their own. And it's illustrated, you know, the angelic creatures did that. Satan convinced all the angelic creatures to turn on Christ. Adam convinced all human beings to turn on Christ. And so, therefore, we're born in Adam. We're born with sin. You were condemned before you did one thing. You were condemned as you came out of the womb, doomed to the lake of fire. And Jesus Christ said, knowing this, in my omniscience, knowing this, I'm going to put together a solution that no one will ever be able to reverse. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. I'm going to pay for every sin they ever committed, past, present, and future. And then I'm going to offer them salvation. And when they take it, I'm going to place myself in union with them so they can never get out again. That's amazing. It's like having a baseball ticket and walking into a stadium. And when you walk into the stadium, the doors close and lock behind you. And you say, excuse me, usher, can I get out? Nope. Once you get in the stadium, you're in. You cannot leave. That's what it means to be in union with Christ. You're a Siamese twin with Christ. You're exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man in one person forever. You're the same. You have 100% God, Jesus Christ, and you 100% true humanity in union forever. And you can't get out. There's no sin you can commit to get you out of that union. There's no mistake you can make to get you out of that union. There's nothing you could do to ever get out of that union. After you get in that union, you could turn around and change your mind and say, I changed my mind. I don't want to worship Jesus Christ anymore, because Jesus Christ is not God, and you're still in union with Christ. Ask Muhammad Ali. Because when he was Cassius Clay, he was a believer in Christ and placed into union with Christ. And then he said, no, Jesus Christ is not God. I'm a Muslim. I'm Muhammad Ali. Well, good for you, but you're still going to heaven, buddy. You're still in union with Christ. You can't get out. You can't talk yourself out of it. You can't send yourself out of it. You're a Siamese twin with Christ. What a fantastic God we have, who wouldn't let you ever lose salvation. Who, once he takes a hold of you, he never lets go. What an amazing God we have. We have a lot to be grateful for. So I hope this infection of relaxation has spread to you. And I hope that you know the power of this so great salvation that you have chosen and that you have the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, watching over and soothing your soul in your times of tribulation. I began my week reading each of the first five chapters of the book of Romans, and I recommend you do that. I recommend it strongly. In fact, I insist. And I wanted to read them to you today, word for word, but there just isn't time. But what God the Holy Spirit encouraged me to do instead is to extract from the first five chapters all of the things that I am grateful for. And I do so happily and wholeheartedly. As I reflect on Romans chapter 1, I am grateful that I am not as bad as Paul. Amen? Amen? I'm bad, but I'll never be as bad as Paul. I am like Paul, but I am not as bad as he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 says, I, Paul, am the least of the apostles, and I am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Paul is the biggest murderer of all time, and his goal was to single-handedly wipe out the Christian church, and daily he murdered men, women, and children. And that's the person that the Lord Jesus Christ selected to write two-thirds of the New Testament, the instruction set to the church-age believer. So if you ever think you are worthless, helpless, hopeless, and bad, you just need to think of Paul. You just need to remember, you're not as bad as Paul. You can't even sin your way as bad as Paul. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, to me, Paul, the very least of all the saints, and a saint is a believer in Christ. To me, Paul, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. What grace? To preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ selected the worst person of all time to preach the message to the Gentiles. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When I look at my life with all my mistakes and all my skeletons in the closet, I relax knowing that there is a man who is admittedly worse than me, who has done great things for God. In fact, the worst man who has ever lived is the man whom God chose to write the instruction set to the royal family of God, the church age believer. The most important task of our era was given to the worst person of all time. Do you think that the Lord was communicating anything to you through that? He was. As a result of God's choice of Paul, I know that God has great things in store for me, who is a person who is not quite as bad as Paul. And I look forward with gratitude to the things that God has planned for the very least of all the pastors, me. Because I used to compare myself as a pastor to a lot of pastors. You know, there's a pastor at, I think it's Saddlebrook Community Church, Rick Warren. He's written a book. He made so much money on the book that he gave all the salary he ever got back from his church back to the church. And, you know, he's got this humongous mega church. I compare myself. I say, you know, I was in broadcasting, man. I mean, I'm pretty easy to listen to. I'm pretty funny, you know? And I can muster up, what, maybe 60 people? How come I can't get 1,600 people? How come I can't get $1 million a year being a pastor? How come I can't drive real cool cars because I'm a pastor? I mean, I didn't even get a Christmas present from nobody in this place, you know? And you know what it all started? It all started when I said, y'all don't have to call me Pastor Rory. As soon as I said, you know, I prefer being called Rory. Now, you know, yeah, Rory, whatever. Hey, where's my Christmas present at? How about a car? Nah, we ain't giving you none. You got everything you need. Yeah, that's true. You know, they said, here's your Christmas present. You know, every week we're going to, for 52 weeks, we're going to put a donut up there, but don't ask for a Christmas present. Amen? Well, you're lucky, because I don't want Christmas presents. I don't need Christmas presents. You know, who needs a Starbucks card with $500 on it or something like that? You know, nobody needs that stuff. But you know what I'm saying. I'm the very least of all the pastors. I'm a matzah head. I compare myself to other pastors. I compare myself to the guy who ordained me, Pastor John Farley. I listen to some of his lessons, and I say, oh, my God, he's so good. He is so good. He is so amazing. What an amazing teacher. I stink. You know, and then I call him and say, hey, how you doing? He said, man, that lesson last week blew my soul up. Oh, whew. Well, I do something good every once in a while, too. But see, God took the very least of all the people, the very least, and made him the least of all the pastors. And I've learned to be grateful for what I have and not longing for and coveting what I don't. Because I'll tell you what, 1,600 people, that's an organism. You know, I don't want anything to do with that organism. And he probably knows the desires of my heart. And it's given me exactly what I need. A few friends that I can share the word of God with and people that I genuinely want to be with and people that I genuinely love. I think he knows what he's doing. And I am grateful, as I read Romans chapter 1, that I have found the accurate gospel message and that I chose the narrow way that leads to life, Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Do you value your uniqueness, or are you trying to be like everybody else? The Lord Jesus Christ is the narrow gate, and there are few that find him, and once you believe in him, you have the resurrection life, and you can't get out. I am grateful that God came to find me, because I was not seeking him. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 11, which says, there is no creature who understands God. There is no creature who seeks for a relationship with God. None of us were seeking God. We were lost, and he came and found us. God found me, Luke chapter 15, verse 4. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Shepherds don't leave sheep. If a shepherd leaves a sheep, the shepherd has a mission that is much more important than the sheep. Our shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, left the other sheep and came and looked for you and found you. And you should be grateful that he did that, and also grateful that you responded. God finds us. And he loses none of us except those who want to be lost. John 17:12, while I, the Lord Jesus Christ, was with the apostles, I was keeping them in your name, God the Father. John chapter 17, one of the greatest prayers of all time. I was keeping them in your name, God the Father, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Judas Iscariot rejected a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was lost, and he wanted to stay that way. So no one ever perishes but the ones who want to. We have free will, and free will has been on my heart heavily and will be coming up very shortly. We're going to address that to kick this year off. We can reject a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ just as Judas Iscariot did. I am grateful as I read Romans that God makes himself visible to us both from within ourselves and from without. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, since the creation of the world, the Lord's invisible attributes and his eternal power and his divinity, his divine nature, have been clearly seen by all creatures, being understood even through what has been made, so that all mankind are without excuse before the justice of God. You're not going to go before God and say, see, what had happened is I didn't know you existed. I am grateful that I worship and serve the Creator and not the creature, Satan, the enemy of God. I am grateful that because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am righteous and therefore not subject to God's wrath. Romans chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. There are your choices, righteousness or wrath. I choose righteousness, and I am no longer subject to wrath. Once you're in the ballpark, you will never taste wrath. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in union with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I am grateful that I am righteous and not unrighteous. I am grateful that I am godly and not ungodly. I am grateful that I am a saint and not a sinner. Not because of anything I have done, mind you, but because of all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ saved us, believers in Christ, not on the basis of deeds that we've done in self-righteousness, but he saved us according to his mercy. By the washing of regeneration, we are born again. And by renewing, by means of the baptism of God the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow, what God did for you. Wow. Those are just a few of the things that I'm grateful for. Take a 5-minute break. That was back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Welcome back. I am old. For you guys in the non-resident congregation, I was just saying that back when I was a kid, gas was 33 cents a gallon. Now it's coming down. It's going back to that, man. We're going to get there. Welcome back. So the question I ask you is this: what are you grateful for? As I reviewed the first five chapters of the book of Romans, the subject of our study last year, I'm grateful to know that I was born in sin. And as a result, I am guilty of violating every facet of God's law. Because a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. If you're guilty of violating any part of the law, you're guilty of violating the whole law according to God. And that made me a criminal in God's eyes. Excuse me. And subject to his wrath, because God's response to sin is wrath. And see, Jesus Christ took all of that wrath for all creatures. That's amazing. Then those sweet words, when I worried about wrath, those sweet words from Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now, all right, you're guilty, you're a criminal, but now, apart from the law, what? The righteousness from God has been manifested. The righteousness from God has been made clearly visible. And I'm grateful that God made a provision for me and for all who would believe in Christ. That my belief in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on my behalf has been treated the same as he treated those believing as he treated the believing of Abraham, Romans chapter 4, verse 3. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was credited to him as absolute righteousness, which is the admission ticket to heaven. See, when you go in that stadium, what does your admission ticket say? It says, may I please have absolute righteousness? And the usher takes your ticket, stamps it with a big yes stamp, hands it back to you. You walk in, and the doors close behind you. And you're saved once and for all time. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Or wasn't it funny? That's exactly the next verse that I have right here in the lesson. I'm grateful that a God who never changes, a God who is immutable, never changes, accomplished my salvation, and he will never change his mind about the fact that I am saved. There it is for you to see. John 10:28. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Alyssa, are you saved? Can you lose it? Yeah, there you go. Remember that when you go on your interview down at Dallas Christian. They're going to ask you that. You better be able to defend it. There it is. I am grateful that there is nothing I can do to work for my own salvation, and that there is nothing I have to do to preserve my salvation. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. To the one who does not work for salvation, but instead believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies the ungodly, unrighteous sinner, this person's faith, not his works, is credited to him as righteousness. And I am grateful that God did the impossible thing in saving a wretch like me. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And being fully assured that what God had promised to me, salvation, he was also able to perform. See, I am not able to perform my own salvation, but the one who is faithful promised me, and he can deliver. Amen? The promises of God are a guarantee. I am grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me how he feels about me when I am at my worst. Let me repeat that. I am grateful that God has communicated to me how he feels about me when I am at my worst. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind in that while we were ungodly, unrighteous, despicable sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the thing that the legalistic Christian cannot accept, that God died just as much for Hitler as he did for you. God died just as much for Stalin as he did for you. God died just as much for Nero as he did for you. God died just as much for Herod as he did for you. God died just as much for every terrorist as he did for you. We can't accept that. You know why? Because we wouldn't do it. Because you don't even want to, you wouldn't even die for a family member that you love the most. Remember that. Your parents ain't dying for you, dude. If the two of y'all is in the water, right, and you can't swim and you ain't got a life jacket on, you ain't going to make it. Amen? You see what I'm saying? But Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is your life jacket. Amen? To be continued in the teen lesson. God did not wait for us to clean up our acts to save us. He died for us when we were ungodly, unrighteous sinners. Right, June? Because if he was waiting for you to clean up your act, oh, man, that'd be a long journey. Amen? Write a song about that. Thank you, Jesus. I am grateful that I am in Christ and no longer in Adam. And as a result, I have peace with God, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since everything in the first four chapters is true, and since I am justified by God the Father through my faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I now have peace with God the Father through my union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am grateful for all of you who consider Barah Ministries to be your spiritual home. And here's my happy New Year's wish for all of you. I exhort you to live in the eye of the hurricane. I exhort you to live in the eye of the hurricane. See, the most recognizable feature in a hurricane is the eye. The eye of a hurricane is found at the center of the hurricane. The eye of the hurricane is the focus of a hurricane. It is the point about which the rest of the storm rotates, and it has the lowest surface pressures that are found in the storm. And the skies are often completely clear above the eye of a hurricane, and the winds are relatively light. And it is actually the calmest part of any hurricane. Now, I have been in a Category 1 hurricane. And, when you think about a hurricane, a Category 1 hurricane is the sissy of hurricanes, right? It's 70 to 80 mile an hour winds. But I have stood in a window and watched a Category 1 hurricane take a pole and drive it right through a concrete wall. I've watched it mangle fences, knock down buildings, blow out windows, and I stood and watched it all. For 3 hours, it pounded Cabo San Lucas. And then the eye of the hurricane came over, and it was absolute calm. The waves went from 30-foot waves to absolute calm. Little sunshine, absolute calm for about an hour, hour and a half. And then the tail of the hurricane comes through, and the party's back on. The eye is so calm because the strong surface winds that converge toward the center of the hurricane never reach it. The rotation of the winds produces a Coriolis effect that deflects the harsh winds in the band of the hurricane away from the center. So you got this swirling, but the swirling creates a wall in the center that keeps all of the chaos out of the eye, so that the eye is this place of absolute calm. So the rotation of the winds produces this Coriolis effect, and it deflects the harsh winds in the band of the hurricane away from the center, causing the wind to rotate around the center of the hurricane's eye wall, leaving the exact center of the hurricane completely calm. And I'm absolutely certain that God would not be so pedantic, so elementary, that he would teach us about the Christian way of living with a storm. Or wait. Or wait, maybe he did. No, God couldn't be smart enough to communicate to us through a hurricane that the world and its ferocious winds can swirl viciously around us all day, every day, intending us harm, yet with our union with Christ, cannot get to us because of the Coriolis effect of the Christian way of life, where he puts around us our union with Christ. It keeps us in a place of absolute calm and keeps the winds of the world away from us so that we can be this center with peace and sunshine. He couldn't have done that. God couldn't be smart enough to do that, could he? Oh, maybe he could. When we realize at a point in our life that God has indeed provided such a life of calm for us, a peace which surpasses understanding, we can say the same thing Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. So you whiners out there who are whining because your life is hard, who measure all of life in easy and hard, and who always gravitate to easy, you want it easy? Use your union with Christ. And when you do, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be all these winds swirling around you, creating a tremendous amount of chaos in your life. And you're going to, you know what, you know one of the things that you got to know about a hurricane? A hurricane is nothing but pressure. Those winds are pressure. That's why a hurricane is so powerful, because it is just pressure. That's the life that your God has given to you, a life of pressure. And he did not intend for you to be whiners when you were getting the pressure. He intended for you to retreat into his arms and to sit right in the calm of the center of that hurricane, and with all the stuff swirling around you and all the pressure, for you to be absolutely calm. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Have you learned to be content in whatever circumstances you're in? What are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? Did you write anything down? Because you need to look at what you're grateful for. If you live your life at the eye of the hurricane, you can be content with the psychotic neighbor who is out to drive you crazy. You can forgive the cheating spouse, realizing the spouse is not cheating on you, but instead is cheating self out of a phenomenal relationship. You can stop giving the finger to other drivers by learning to share the road with people who are frustrated NASCAR failures. Why are you pointing at me, Mike? Just because I did that one time, you still remember that? That's all you remember about me is that I gave the finger to another driver? Come on, man, I got more about me than that. Yeah, Mike was reminding me just now of a time that there was a guy behind me who's kind of tailgating me. And he pulled up beside me, and I rolled down the window, and I gave him the finger. And he was saying, nice license plate, man, that Lord JC, that's my man. Yeah, you're number one. If you live your life in the eye of the hurricane, you can embrace the homeless beggar with your contribution. You can treat people who engage in homosexuality as if they are human beings. You can support your friends who are going through a divorce, even though you're not a fan of the end of a marriage. You can stop worrying and start living. You can stop doubting and give your trust as a gift. You can stop vacillating and make a frickin' decision. You can sit on the bench in a sport and learn the lesson of being on the bench. When I became a pastor 8 years ago, I thought that I had just hung the moon. And I'm looking forward to getting out and seeing what God's going to get put me into that I can just wreak havoc and make a name for myself. And God said, okay, congratulations, you're a pastor. Sit down on the bench and shut up. And now it's 7 years later, and I'm still on the bench. You know why? Because with God, it's sit, walk, stand. And the first thing, that's what we're going to study after Romans. We're probably going to go to Ephesians. Six chapters. Sit, walk, stand. You become a Christian, sit down and shut up. And learn. Just like he did with Paul. Knocked him off his high horse, took him out in the desert for 4 years and taught him personally. And Paul, yeah, I got it. Shut up. Shut up and learn. It's always the first step. You can be the star in your own movie and think things are going to go well for you. You can support a boss whom you think is a bad person. You can enjoy having a new baby in the house even though everything about your life has been disrupted by that little cretin, no matter how cute the cretin is. You can enjoy Satan's attack on the unity of your marriage. You can say something when you'd rather say nothing. You can appreciate the brother whom you have supported all your life when he betrays you in a moment of your weakness. You can avoid putting substances in your body that are not supportive of your health, like alcohol and drugs and nicotine. You can spend your money on others and not be bothered at all when they're ungrateful. You can smile at your child's rebellion, knowing that all great things start with a dissatisfaction with status quo. And then you can be even more happy as you see their dreams of changing the world dashed when they realize that they're human beings just like you. You can feel compassion for those who think that their racist thoughts make them superior to you. You can say no when you're tempted to engage in things like pornography by selecting a pastime that is healthier for your psyche. You can be happy that you get to care for your relatives as they age, even when you think they aren't all there. You can eat well and feel better as a result. You can exercise a little every day and feel the joy of extra endorphins coursing through your body. You can open your heart and let other people in. You can stop feeling helpless and hopeless and worthless. You can begin to realize that effort and hard work always pays off. You can realize that avoiding work is harder than doing the work. You can put down the electronic devices and remember the joy of a human conversation. And you can operate with a schedule instead of winging it. You are in my prayers for a happy new year, the new year of your life. And this year, avoid like the plague the sin of ingratitude. Thank you, God, for the tribulation. Romans chapter 3, verses 3, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. We also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Exult. We are grateful for, happy for our tribulation. And perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because the unconditional love of God has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Happy New Year. Be thankful for all that you've got, especially thankful for your relationship with our great God. This is where I was going to play the Brothers Johnson. Though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, just be thankful for what you've got. But Norbert has never heard that song, so I decided against it. Really? Yes, you have. Diamond in the Back, Sun Rooftop, Digging the Scene with a Gangster Lean. You never heard that song? Really? Denny will play it for you. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when God makes a promise, it's a guarantee. Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's private interpretation. And no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men, carried along by God the Holy Spirit, spoke directly from the exact thinking of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, adequate, equipped for every good work. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The closing song, How Great You Are.
God, how great thou art. You have set me apart. You finish what you start. You alone can change my heart. You hold time in your hands. You were before time began. No one can change your plans. Your absolute truth forever stands. How great, how great, how great, how great you are. How great you are. How great you are. How great you are. I will submit to you. I will obey you. Lay down my life for you. I live to die for you. I will submit to you. I will obey you. Lay down my life for you. Because I want to. How great, how great, how great, how great you are. How great you are. And I know you control all history. Given us a will that's free, provided our destiny. Your word is the air my soul breathes. I will walk in the light, not in the dark of night. Not living wrong or right, but by obedience, precious in your sight. How great, how great, how great, how great you are. How great you are. How great you are. How great you are. I will submit to you. I will obey you. Lay down my life for you. I live to die for you. I will submit to you. I will obey you. Lay down my life for you. Because I want to. How great, how great, how great, how great you are. How great you are. I'm gonna walk by the power of the Holy Spirit in a manner worthy of the calling I receive. Then I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This truth I've come to know and I believe. But there will be times that I won't choose to sin. This is absolutely true. But Father, I know all my sins are forgiven and I can never lose my fellowship with you. How great you are, God the Father. How great you are, God the Son. I know that you laid down your life for me. How great you are, God the Holy Spirit. You teach and enable me. How great you are, the Godhead. How great you are, indwelling Trinity. How great you are, how great you are. How great you are.
Timing is everything, isn't it? Let us pray. You know what, God, we only have one thing to say to you as we close today, and that is, as we close, it's a great way to close, but it's also a great way to open any prayer. And we just say thanks for everything. And I also say to those of you who are part of this ministry, thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. Elvis has left the building.